Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Oh God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14a, 36 through 41. A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourself from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord.
I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord.
I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listens to my supplications. The Lord has given me ear to me whenever I called. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
I will call.
Second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. A reading from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
We have some great readings today. The thing that struck me with this psalm, however, is this idea that the Lord gives ear to our prayers, our supplications, our cries, and in the gospel today, that's what we see in Jesus' acts, is that he is giving ear to the struggles of his people. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and before all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This morning during the baptism, I'll invite the children forward to have a front row seat for the baptism, so that will be our time together with the children. Please pray with me. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you are the living Lord, the one who has conquered death, the one who now meets us on the road. Meet us here today. Give us hope as we journey through life, from life into life as we trust you. Come, Holy Spirit, and meet us. Give us your presence and your life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I need to give credit where credit is due. I had the opportunity to attend the Ecumenical Advocacy Days, and following 3 days or so of Ecumenical Advocacy Days, then attended the Peace Not Walls, the ELCA's Peace Not Walls gathering for another day. All of that took place in Washington, D.C. this past week. And as we gathered for Peace Not Walls, our work there is to accompany Palestinians, especially Lutheran Palestinians living in the Holy Land. And out of that gathering, Pastor Blake Rohrer, who is Evangelical Lutheran Church in America pastor, who serves Midvale Community Lutheran Church, sent out a sermon that he was inspired to write. And invited us to use this sermon for the weekend, but I've taken the sermon and made it hopefully more applicable to our context, and so the sermon today is a joint effort between Pastor Blake and myself. And certainly I want to credit him with culminating the concise quotes that you will hear from a man named Bassam, a Palestinian Lutheran who was with us in Washington, D.C., as well as Bishop Unan. The gospel reading for this morning describes one long road trip. By long, I don't mean how many miles. Many of us have walked 7-ish miles in a day. Many of you have Fitbits that are logging your 10,000 plus steps every day that we're told we need for healthy living. Many run almost that far in your daily or your weekly exercise routine. No, it's a long trip between Jerusalem and Emmaus, not because of the physical distance, but because of the distance between we had hoped and the Lord is risen indeed. That distance seems like forever. Are we there yet? I would like to be able to say that that distance has now shortened following Easter. But for many, even most of us, we walk regularly in that place between distress and belief, between disillusionment and joy, between dashed hopes and promises fulfilled. This is surely true for the people who literally walk that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus today. Palestinian Christians today have a long and seemingly impossible journey from being broken, heartbroken, to having the life of burning hearts. Attending the Ecumenical Advocacy Days in D.C. and the Peace Not Walls event put on by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we gathered in accompaniment, supporting the Lutheran Palestinian Christians in Palestine. At the conference, I was blessed to be reacquainted with Bassam. He's a layperson, a Palestinian layperson, who serves as chief administrator for the Lutheran Church in the Holy Land. During our visit, he described the experience of living his whole life under occupation. This year is the 50th year that Israel has militarily occupied Palestine. For Bassam, who lives in East Jerusalem, closer to the old city of Jerusalem, where his office is, than the distance between Emmaus and Jerusalem, it can take him hours to get from his home to his work because of the checkpoints that he must cross. Here is some of what he told us. Christians are a minority in the Holy Land, and as Lutherans, we are a minority of minority. Jerusalem is city of peace. Literally, that is what its name means. Jeru-Shalom, or Jerusalem. But he says Salem or Shalom means something different to me because at every checkpoint, the soldiers greet me with Shalom and then go on to search and humiliate me. Checkpoints take an hour or two. Once you go out, you can't go home until you are done with your work and other tasks because you don't go out again in the evening. I live with my wife and two children with my parents in their small house because I can't get a permit from Israel to build another house or an addition to my family's house, despite 20 years and thousands of dollars of court fees trying. My mother sent my brother away to live in England because it is too hard for him here. As Bassem concluded, I couldn't help but think of the words, but we had hoped. This is what the two walking to Emmaus say to the stranger who has become their traveling companion, but we had hoped. So much is said in these four words. They speak of a future that is hoped for yet not to be, a dream that at one time created energy and enthusiasm, but did not materialize, a promise that created faith that proved to be false. It speaks of a future that is closed off, now irrelevant, dead. There are few things more tragic than a dead future. Once challenged to write a short story in six words, Ernest Hemingway supposedly replied by penning on a napkin, "For sale, baby shoes, never used." It's not just the tragedy of what happened that hurts, but the gaping hole of all that could have happened, but now will not. For many in this community, that gaping hole is very real. For many in this community, it might be we had hoped for a bright future for Carter and for Colby. For others, it might be we had hoped this job would work out, or we had hoped she would recover from her addiction, or we had hoped for a better relationship, or we had hoped for the cancer to go into remission, or that society could somehow be united, or my child would be accepted for who they are, or you fill in your own disappointments. Few things are more painful than dashed hopes. And so before Jesus interprets scripture for his companions on the road, or before he sits down and breaks bread, he does two things. He comes alongside of these forlorn disciples, and he asks them to name their loss. Individuals and congregations who want to be faithful to the pattern set by their Lord will do likewise. Before we talk, before we explain, before we invite, we come alongside and we listen, naming our pain, our grief, our loss. These are essential ingredients to moving beyond them. Not, I think, erasing them or even leaving them fully behind, but transcending them so that they are no longer that which defines us. Naming our pain, that is, creates room to be surprised. This week I read one of Martin Luther's sermons on this gospel story from Luke chapter 24. And I love what he wrote. It seems still to speak to us some 500 years later. It is therefore God's purpose to teach us by this narrative given for our instruction and consolation how his work is to be done in the Christian church after his resurrection, namely that he will not reject nor cast out those who are weak in their faith, yea, or who are otherwise weak, fearful, and despairing. They are rather the very persons in whom he will exercise and manifest the power of his resurrection, not only by inviting them to come to him, but also by coming to them and treating them in the gentlest and kindest way, talking with them, teaching and instructing them, yea, even eating with them, until at length they grow strong and secure in their faith, while their hearts, so sad and sorrowful for a time, are again filled with joy. End quote. Part of being human is both experiencing brokenness and at times being broken. And it is to these broken, heartbroken disciples in today's reading and in this worship that the risen Christ comes, walking along with us on the road, teaching us the scriptures that we may understand, sharing his presence through bread and wine, and bestowing to us burning hearts that send us back into the world. When we find ourselves in the space between loss of hope and renewed conviction, Jesus will do more than show up. Jesus will do something about it. When Jesus meets us on the road from we had hoped to the Lord is risen indeed, he is indeed moving us from broken hearts to burning hearts. In our church, the ELCA, this passage from Luke is the biblical basis for our work of accompaniment, both locally and globally. We take the model of accompaniment, coming alongside our Lutheran brothers and sisters and children of God, and walking with them as they walk with us, listening, teaching, sharing bread, and moving into mission. Pastor Rohr writes, "This week we listened to our Palestinian Lutheran friends at the conference. We committed to further support to a new Lutheran school they're building in Ramallah in order to double the number of students they can educate, girls, boys, Christians, Muslims, together. This is the work of the Lutherans in the Holy Land. The new building is ready, but because of unpredictable delays and expenses in getting permits and supplies, part of life in the occupied territories, the contingency fund was used up, and they currently don't have money for furnishings. So we," he says, "are seeking to raise $150,000 by the fall so that the aptly named Lutheran School of Hope can open. To us, to me, to Bassam, and to others, offer Christ-like encouragement in their witness of faith as they retain hope in a place where, in looking at it objectively, it would be all too easy to be stuck in we had hoped." The bishop of the Lutheran Church in Palestine, Yunnan, shared this in his Easter sermon 2 weeks ago. "We are in our 50th year of occupation. Many Palestinian Christians are asking, 'How long, O Lord? When will this end? Where do we belong?' And yet, we must remember that we are not alone. These are the very same feelings the disciples felt after the resurrection of Jesus. In the midst of their confusion, the angel told the ones gathered at the tomb, "He is not here, he is risen." Bishop Yunnan went on to proclaim, "This is our hope, and we must cling to it. The message of Easter is not idealism. Christ's victory over sin, death, and despair is the only hope that has kept Christians steadfast in this land for 2,000 years. It is the only hope that carried the saints at every age through trials, struggles, and persecutions. And it is the only hope that today will carry us through these confusing times in the Middle East and throughout the world." Dear friends, Bishop Yunnan speaks the truth about each of our lives. Christ alive is our only hope. He is the only hope of Cecilia as she is baptized today. He is the only hope of those families who are brokenhearted and grieving in our communities. He is our only hope as we look to a future that is not dead but alive. Jesus alive is our hope. And there is so much accompaniment to do. You can join me in my work with the ELCA and the Palestinian Lutherans. And you can look across the street and accompany your aging neighbor or your neighbors who are struggling with grief and sorrow. Or perhaps you can look within the walls of your own home and see one who needs accompanied in fear, in sorrow, in restlessness, in hopelessness. You see, we too are on the road. And it's not a quick trip. The road from we had hoped to resurrection life is not and never will be a quick trip. There is much accompaniment to do. But we are not on the road alone. In Christ, there is room for broken hearts. And there is also room for the power and the possibility of hearts burning with love and the life of Jesus Christ. Let us today commit to and go forth in faithfulness, trusting in the one who can and will one day create the fulfillment of all that God, our Heavenly Father, has.
Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Each petition ends with, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Christ, who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the gifts of relationships with others, for the communion of faith in your church. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God of might, renew this weary world, heal the hurts of all your children, and bring your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for those who govern nations of the world, for the people in countries ravaged by strife or warfare, for all who work for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction, for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor be overcome in adversity. in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all harm and danger. We ask you that you would also protect us today from sin and all evil, so that our lives and our actions may be pleasing to you. Into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all that is ours. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for Tim Schmidt, who is in intensive care, and we also pray for the physical, spiritual, financial, emotional needs of our congregation and our visitors today. And we particularly remember the people that are listed, the first names of the people that are listed in our bulletin this morning, as we say them together. Rejoice the birth of Cooper, Michaela, Judy, family of Don, Sonia, Amy, Janet, Ione, the family of Colby, Marge, Rodney, the missionary couple, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the United States. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, but paths as yet untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So I'm going to send you out today with a challenge, and that is to look for those moments of Easter where Christ appears to you along the road this week, and see if you can't be the embodiment of Christ for others as you accompany them along the road's journey. May God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You are the body of Christ raised up in the world. Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God. Coffee's on.